More than 40 countries have pledged to phase out coal-fired power by 2050.
Today, I think we can say that the end of coal is in sight.
That is Alok Sharma, president of the COP26 summit in Glasgow, Scotland. But major coal producers and burners, the US, China, Australia, have not signed on. For more, we're joined by Umer Irfan, climate reporter for Vox, and he's in Washington. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So, Umer, what's in this plan? I gather some countries will go off coal sooner than others?
Yeah, that's right. So this is a commitment to phasing out domestic use of coal. The goalpost is for wealthier countries to phase out somewhere in the 2030s, and for some of the poorer countries and developing countries to decline by the 2040s. The idea is that with the current fleet of coal-fired power plants, they will eventually age out of the power distribution fleet and over time will be replaced by cleaner sources of energy.
Now, here's the thing. The largest users of coal, China and then India and then the U.S., have not signed on to this. Is there kind of a signal here?
That's right. You know, it shows that these countries are still counting on coal both for a major source of domestic production, but also for exports. You know, Australia, for instance, did sign on to a net zero emissions target. But if you look at their target, they say that they expect to continue exporting coal to other countries well into the 2050s. And it just kind of shows that incongruence here that, you know, while they do acknowledge that they want to zero out their emissions, they're also still saying that it's really hard to transition when you're a major economy and you still need a lot of energy.
Well, one other, problem here appears to be the timing. The influential International Energy Agency has this climate roadmap to what's called net zero, and that requires the whole world to be coal-free by 2040.
Yeah, that's right. You know, coal is the largest single source of greenhouse gas emissions because it's a very energy-dense fossil fuel, and, you know, it produces a whole lot of other pollution. And so the idea is if you target coal and zero it out first, you can make some of the biggest gains. And those gains have to start right away because if you want to limit warming in line with the targets of the Paris Agreement, those cuts have to start now. And that's much harder when you're not putting definite targets in the near term. You know, it's one thing to set your benchmarks in the 2030s and 2040s, but what's really going to be significant in these COP negotiations is what they set out to do over the next 5 and 10 years. Yeah. And that remains to be seen.
Now, for the countries that have signed on, Vietnam, Indonesia, Poland, Canada, they're significant users of coal because in much of the world, it's a cheap fuel to make electricity. This can't be easy. How will they make this switch?
I mean, it's going to take time. You know, a lot of these countries, you noted, you know, many of them are developing countries or don't have very strong economies. And so they're counting on some international finance. They want some of the wealthier countries that have historically produced the most greenhouse gas emissions to chip in to help finance renewable energy and take other steps. And so there's a fair amount of horse trading that still has to happen in order to make this work out.
Yeah. And you mentioned the mining and exporting of coal by Australia. Tell me a little bit more about that side of it and whether there's any movement on restricting mining. I imagine if less coal is mined in the world, it's more scarce, the price goes up, and that might make it easier for countries to transition off of coal.
That's true. But at the same time, if the price of coal goes up and becomes a much more lucrative export, and so that's the other economic force you have to work against. And it's not just Australia. You know, countries like Saudi Arabia, for instance, they've also set a net zero target, but they're also counting on exporting oil. And even before this COP summit, you know, the United States was leaning on OPEC, the oil producing cartel, to produce more oil to help boost the global economy. A lot of countries still realize that they need cheap fossil fuels in the near term to keep their economies growing, particularly as we emerge from the COVID-19 pandemic. But at the same time, they also acknowledge that, you know, there's a huge price to pay environmentally. That's really going to be one of the big thorny issues that has to be settled at these negotiations.
And can I ask you about one other announcement today from the summit? The U.S. was part of this. The U.S. and other countries agreed to phase out the overseas financing of fossil fuel use. Significant?
Yeah, it is. Because, you know, while in wealthier countries like the United States and even the European Union, emissions have been flat or have even declined slightly as they've transitioned from coal toward renewables and natural gas, much of the growth in greenhouse gas emissions is occurring in developing countries. And that's happening because export and development banks in wealthy countries are financing coal-fired power plants, which commits them to using fossil fuels for decades. But recently, many of these coal financiers and these fossil fuel financiers have agreed to stop doing that, including China. They announced this at the UN General Assembly earlier this year. So blocking this international finance of coal helps close off a critical route that allows for more coal plants to keep being built. So eventually, the ones that are currently there will be shut down.
Yeah. And finally, Umair, this summit wraps up in a few days. How do you think it ends?
Well, we've already seen some significant announcements at this summit. You know, we saw India, for instance, commit to zeroing out its greenhouse gas emissions. That was something of a surprise. But some of the big issues about financing, particularly how developing countries that are going to be impacted by climate change in the near term and over the long term should be compensated, that's going to be a lot more thorny and much more difficult to resolve. How much money actually gets committed and how it's actually distributed, that's something that a lot of negotiators are going to be spending a lot of time on. And it's not clear that they'll come to a resolution by the end of next week.
Umair Irfan is a climate reporter for Vox. Thanks.
My pleasure.